Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J... It's a good start, isn't it? H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show.
Mervyn Day here.
We were joined in the studio by comedian David Alfie Ward, Spurs fan. He reflected on last night as well as told us about a new football team he has joined and wanted to say thank you to many of the TalkSport listeners, as you'll discover.
Tyson Fury has said that he would never like to leave Morecambe. His wife said they're very, very happy there. So we've got the Morecambe tourist board on.
We have, basically, to tell us what's so great about Morecambe, why Tyson and his family... Staying put.
As you hear, he's not from Morecambe.
He's not. And also we had the UK Wife Carrying Championships, and we learned all the rules of wife carrying, which are fairly broad, aren't they? I think it's fair to say.
Yeah. More further update on Jose Feliciano.
Oh, yeah, that's what. More news. And Sockley Park's back, as you'll discover. That's an ongoing story. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul.
And as we said, a rather eventful evening at the Lane last night. It was interesting. I was conversing with Gary, who is a Norwich fan, a little bit earlier on, and I thought this was quite telling. I mean, Norwich have played pretty well against Tottenham this season, it's fair to say. But Gary was making the point. He said, oddly, I thought that was our poorest performance of the trilogy, of the three games that they've played in, two in the league and one in the cup. Wouldn't have fancied our chances if Jose had released the handbrake for the full 90 rather than the last 10 of the 90. Genuinely think you would have blown us away. So if that's a microcosm of the way the Norwich fans were feeling, they saw Tottenham go ahead early and thought, ah, this could get a bit evil now. I said, before we continue, Joe has rejoined us. So I take it, Joe, we've got a bit of breaking news.
Yes, we do, Paul. As Six Nations has given official confirmation that Italy against England, scheduled for later this month, has been postponed, along with the accompanying women's and under-20 games. A couple of interesting details that have just come through in a statement from Six Nations. They say, based on the information that is currently available, all other Six Nations matches are set to go ahead as scheduled. They say, as previously stated, Six Nations fully intends to complete all 15 games across all three championships when time allows. But for now, Italy versus England, scheduled for later this month, has been postponed.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Joe. So, yeah, they're not completely unexpected news, but we'll be heading to Italy a little bit later on.
I stay at half-time, it was 1-0 to Spurs, and I thought, I sensed a bit of an upset, but I thought, I'll stay with this. If Spurs get the second goal, this is all over.
You
but
did, I felt that, yeah.
Yeah, you could feel it.
So, but of course, that's not the way Jose plays. You kind of you keep hold of what you've got, and that's what he attempted to do, which was always going to be a risk when we'd seen in the first half that a goalkeeper hadn't played for about 18 months. It was always possible he could throw one in, and that's ultimately what happened. So we saw the KB scramble for 10 minutes. But a couple of things in light of what Jose said after last night's game. There was quite a troubling comment he made. In my eyes, it does make everything about him, and this seems to be a very good example. Troy Parrott came on, got about half an hour, and there was a big cheer. Slightly ironic, but not just that. They want to see this kid given a chance, the fans, rightly or wrong. So he got a massive cheer, which obviously bothered Jose, because he said, now people can see, because he missed the penalty as well, now people can see he has a lot to do. So don't think that Parrott is the second Harry Kane. The penalty's nothing. The problem is the 30 minutes before. Now, that sounds to me like a manager who's just setting himself up saying, I told you so. I knew you wanted him. Now you know.
I remember him killing Lukaku one time when he was about 18, when he missed a penalty in a Super Cup, mate, or something like that. You know, it's just not good enough. You know, I thought there was so much pressure on Parrott when he came on last night. I didn't think he did a lot, to be fair, but I felt for him a bit because, yeah. You know,
it's been built up and built up, hasn't it? Had he just given him a bit more game time, and then maybe people would come to their own conclusion, say he's a good player, but he's not ready. We would reach that conclusion ourselves. Mm. But, you know, anybody can not sort of shine for half an hour. A couple of things as well. I mean, the constant complaining, Jamie O'Hara talking about, the constant moaning about, I can't wait till it's July and I had four players asking to come off the field. I'm going to be telling the board they either have to prioritise Burnley on Saturday or Red Bull Leipzig next week.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's a little quote here from Nuno after the Espanyol game last. This is a team that got a very small squad and play effectively with the same
players.
They
played 12 more games than Tottenham.
One of them, who is João Moutinho, is 34 and looks like a sort of spring chicken. He's got another tune out of him. And he talked about it, and he said, tomorrow, this was after they'd got back from Barcelona, he said, tomorrow we go to train, and then we're going to travel to play Tottenham. This is the reality, day by day, game by game, just focus on what you have to do, prepare well, and compete. Not a lot of bleating there, a lot of saying, well, I'm going to have to tell the board they either prioritise the Europa League or the top four, the top six. I just think most of us are completely sick of it, even if we take into account the key injuries that the manager has. It's turning far more toxic, far more quickly than I ever thought it would. And I did say the day he got the job, he'd leave us at some point 14th and toxic, and I stick to that.
Yeah, I mean, the much bigger picture here is, you know, I wrote down last night, Joe Lewis so could easily, the guy who ultimately owns Tottenham, he could so easily have made Poch happy. He could have just bought, you know, Bruno Fernandes and Dybala, or one of them. It would have made the manager happy. It would have kept the squad fresh. It would have given the squad an extra bit of quality that it needed to take that next step from being in the Champions League final to winning the Champions League. You know, and honestly, it's so short-sighted. What they did, it makes no sense.
I know.
Every other fan, I was fearing Tottenham. I was thinking, I'm so jealous. I went there to the Huddersfield game towards the end of last season when the stadium had opened. I just thought, God, I'm jealous of this club. You know, they've got everything here. They've got a great manager, wonderful stadium. They've got this great team. You know, it's all there for them to be a dominant team. And within 6 months, they've absolutely blown it.
Well, I just feel this is the thing. I'm more disappointed than upset, really, than angry about what's happened, because I think I've said this before, we had a little window, Tottenham. We had a little window when we could have been Liverpool, when we could have used that as the blueprint. Mm. It's not as if the previous manager didn't keep saying things like, you know, that interview with Gary Lineker that's been played quite a lot, where he says, you can have a good house, but you need good furniture. He kept talking about having to make difficult decisions around transfers, where he was saying, we've got to let players go earlier than we might want to. We may have to take a little bit of a hit on them because we need to freshen this up. We need to rebuild. We need new faces. People want to move on. So, and I'd argue now, the rebuild that Tottenham face, because you know what Jose's like, he's not working, he wants to sling money at it. So he may go cap in hands of the board, and they may back him. But I'd argue this is going to cost Daniel Levy more if you take into account getting rid of Pochettino and his staff and the kind of bits and pieces deals they've done subsequently. Although I'm very happy with Lo Celso. I think he's training on. He's going to be an important player for us.
He's a good player.
But,
I think Bergwijn would be all right.
I think they've made some good signings. But by the same token, I think that rebuild's going to cost more than it would have done to have tweaked the squad and backed the last manager. And that's the frustration. I honestly feel that moment has gone. I don't know how long it's gone for, and the fact that Tottenham are generating a lot of money from 60-odd thousand people a week means they will have money to hopefully go again as long as the board invests. But that little window we had when we could have been Liverpool, when we could have followed their blueprint, has gone for a while, and that's the frustration. I mean, look, Daniel Levy's clear, very good businessman, but that strikes me as bad business, doesn't it?
Yeah, I agree.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Now, Tyson Fury could probably live wherever he liked.
Yes.
But he likes living in Morecambe. Well, and he said, didn't he, before the Wilder fight, if he were to lose, he'd just go back to Morecambe and disappear. He clearly has no plans to leave.
No, and his wife was saying they love the area.
Yeah.
And even despite the money they could afford somewhere else, this is where they want to live.
Well, there we are. It's got to be good for business. Let's speak to Morecambe's business improvement district manager, John O'Neill. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon.
You can't buy positive publicity like this, can you? It's fantastic.
Hey, really, he is a fantastic ambassador for the area, and he's sincere in what he says, actually. It's a fantastic place to live. You can't miss him.
Yeah, he did say. I mean, there was some talk of a victory parade at one point, which it seems he didn't want to do. Did he? Is that right?
Well, we were talking about it, but obviously he'd been a long time in his training camp, and then after the fight, he just wanted to come back and spend time with the family. But it's not the parade is not off. Actually, we're still looking at holding in the next few weeks with both our world champs, because of course Isaac Lowe, the Westgate Warrior, won the crown, the WBC, his WBC crown on the same night as well. So we have two world champs.
Excellent.
That's excellent. I don't detect a Morecambe accent. I detect possibly a New Zealand or Australian.
A bit Melbourne. More Melbourne than Morecambe. That. What is it? Where are you from?
Well, I mean, there we go. Double insult, actually. I'm from the large island, Australia. I was brought up in Sydney, not Melbourne.
Oh.
I was born in Hammersmith, so there you go.
Oh, right. I just went with the M's. I just went with the M's, really. Sydney to Morecambe wouldn't have really worked.
What are the attractions of... tell us what the attractions of Morecambe are for people who've never been or don't live there.
It's fantastic, actually. Geographically, we're halfway between London and Edinburgh and Glasgow. On the west coast mainland, I'm looking across to the Lake District now. There's snow on the fells. It takes 45 minutes to get to the Lake District by car, or 1.5 hours by bicycle. Great place to live and bring up your kids and family. It really does have its very own charms. Not crowded, relaxed way of life. And, of course, we've got the Eden Project coming sooner rather than later.
Oh, really? So there's going to be a sort of Lancastrian version of the Eden Project coming? I didn't know that. Coming to you?
Yeah. It's at Eden Project North. The council announced the land was granted to them the other day, so we're just waiting for to go to planning now. So we're hoping 2023 we'll have our very own Eden Project in the north.
Fantastic.
That's good.
I suppose you touched on a good place to bring up kids, and I suppose that is the key, isn't it, to Tyson Fury and being settled and a family being settled there, because he's got young kids, and, you know, if he wanted to go off and live in Vegas, then that, you know, the kids are probably settled in schools, happy, and then that obviously is important to him at the moment.
Absolutely. I mean, you see the guy around, you see him running with his kids, and he doesn't get hassled up here. He's got five of them, and it really is a good place for the family and to bring up sort of for the social life, just for everything. It's just a relaxed way of life, I think.
Yeah. I see the number one tourist attraction is the Eric Morecambe statue, though.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. I mean, he's an icon for the town. We're hoping, you know, in time we might have another statue actually in the form of Tyson Fury.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
that would be nice. That would be nice.
Unites all those crowns, and I think there'd be definite talk of it.
About
it'd be a big statue.
About,
absolutely.
About a decade ago, Morecambe had a cup run, fantastic cup run. And do you remember, I think it was Eric's cousin, Wiggy Threlfall.
Oh,
and
yes.
Wiggy Threlfall. He became quite a local, I think.
A national celebrity.
Sadly, no longer with us as far as I know. But yeah, Wiggy Threlfall, Eric's cousin, was very much front and centre of that whole, of that FA Cup run. And Eric was a Luton fan, though, of course, wasn't he?
Still.
Famously. Yeah, that's right.
He wasn't born Eric Morecambe, was he?
No, he didn't. That, no. No, that's no, right.
It was Bartholomew.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you have to, when you're even as an Aussie, you have to have a kind of potted biog of Eric Morecambe to hand, I would imagine, John, at all
you
times.
You seem to know it.
At all times.
Well, luckily, actually, I was brought up with him in Australia in the Morecambe and Wise show. We only had four channels in, so it wasn't too much to watch. But,
fantastic.
That was one of the staples on a Saturday night, so I know quite all about them.
Everybody works for Morecambe Business Improvement. Every time a police car goes past, I have to say to the person next to him, he's not going to sell much ice cream going that fast.
Perfect.
Well, it's good to talk to John. It's great that he's very settled there. And that's very exciting news about the Eden Project. I've been to the one down in the West Country, so I will pop up when you're open and come and have a look. So thanks for joining us.
And don't forget, Morecambe Football Club has the best pies in football.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Are they award-winning?
They are award-winning, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
You've done a fine job.
Maybe not the team, but it's Kaiser.
Yeah. You've done a fine job, John.
What about Sydney? Should we go there? I've been there, John. That's a nice place as well, let's not forget.
Yeah, Sydney's not bad, actually. I mean, it's not as good as Morecambe Bay, but hey, you can't have it all, can you?
Good work, John. Thank you. Thanks very much.
All right, cheers, guys.
John O'Neill there from Morecambe's Business Improvement team. Yeah, very good. So, you ever been to Morecambe?
I haven't, actually.
No, nor have I.
No, I don't know why.
Just, been up that way, but I've not been there as a little seaside town. We must do a show from there.
Well,
We might well
be doing something soon. Yeah. Something like this in London.
Go to a little show in Morecambe.
Yeah.
So it is approaching. It was just gone 20 past. It's 22:02. That was a good time check. When I never do time checks, you can see one now. You haven't got a clue what the time is. To be honest, I'm not sure. Anyway, it's just gone 20:02. Who cares anyway? You know,
exactly.
What else you got to do, for goodness sake?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport, and returning to the studio this afternoon to tell us about a new football team he has joined is a comedian and Spurs fan. What a day to get him in. We may mention that in passing, I'm afraid.
He asked us not to mention it.
Yeah, well, just very briefly at the end. David Alfie Ward. Dave, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me back.
In.
Yeah,
now, last time when you came in and saw us, you were very candid about the mental health struggles you'd had. And you've now joined a new football team, haven't you? With kind of that in mind.
Well, yeah. Last time I came on, I briefly spoke about my struggles with bipolar and mental health, and toying with suicide and stuff like that. And it got such a response because of how big this radio station is. Lots of people reached out to me and said how much just me speaking openly had helped them. And I thought, well, there's got to be more I can do. So. FC Not Alone is a football team created by two friends, Ian and Matt, and Ian is a friend of mine. And they started it in 2018 as well, of bringing kind of football and the stigma that comes with mental health and men talking, as it's the biggest killer of men under 45, and kind of bringing the two together, and they play some matches and have a talk. And it's a really good movement. And they asked me to do this promo video with an Arsenal fan last week, and me and Paul being friends, I sent over to Paul. I said, "Would you like to get me on to talk about this?" And he said, "Yeah," because it was a really kind of a video about the differences of. So they filmed us outside our respective clubs of Arsenal and Tottenham, and asked us what we thought of the rival fans, and what I actually said didn't make the cut because it wasn't PG, but.
Or PC.
Or PC.
And the Arsenal, let's be honest, the Arsenal fans are much the same sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly, of course. And then at the end, they brought us almost like a kind of gloves are off kind of boxing face-to-face of each other. And we both opened up about our struggles with mental health and suicide and stuff like that. And then had a game of football afterwards. And it's just what FC Not Alone do. They bring people together through the love of football, through mutual love of football, and and break down the stigma of mental health and getting people talking.
Are they looking to recruit more players? Or
well, they don't want to recruit me. I was awful. So the whole thing of the day was that we was going to kind of we was going to talk about how much we hate our rival fans. We didn't know this at the point. And then we came face to face, and then we had to play a football game together on the same team to show that the unity through football. Now, tricky. I haven't played, and this was on the eve of Storm Cara. It was on the eve of that. So there was wind and rain. I haven't played in about 18 months, 2 years. And a lot of people that said they were going to turn up didn't turn up because of the weather. Mm. Yeah. So we just had to get ringers that were already at the football pitch. And of course, these guys have seen a professional camera crew and thought, well, this is my chance. This is my chance to get noticed. So they're getting their inner Ronaldinho from 2006 kind of skinning it round me. And I couldn't even come up with my inner 2006 me, you know? So really, I didn't know what to do. So I don't think they'll be asking me to play too many times unless they're really desperate. But they are looking for players, I'm sure.
We are in interesting times, aren't we? Because be kind is no one could disagree with that. No one could disagree with the idea of being kind on social media, being kind to each other, saying nice things. But in football, that's hard, isn't it? It's against human nature. It's like you mentioned that. I mean, rival fans, you're going to get that. I can't see Paul Jiggins was saying, you know, it would be a shame that if everything became so sanitised that you couldn't have a go at a player, or
within reason. No, within reason. Paul rightly said,
but
you know.
You can see, I did say this to you a few months ago, you can see a situation where eventually that does disappear from football supporting because it doesn't seem to go with sort of modern.
I hope not, and I don't think it will. I don't think it will. If I ever have children, I will bring them up to not use the word Arsenal. Like it will not happen. So I hope it doesn't get to the PC culture too much. But it was great to see kind of me and a guy called Courtney, who's the Arsenal fan, just come together and play football together and actually realise we weren't so dissimilar. I would probably judge him if I didn't know him and I saw him in an Arsenal top. You know, if I saw him walking down the street past me, I'd think, oh, one of them.
You know? some of my best friends are Arsenal fans, but I hate Arsenal. They know I hate Arsenal. But I don't hate them.
You hate everybody, don't you?
Well, I don't hate them.
The people can go and check it out, can't they? FC Not Alone. It's on social media. If they put that into Google, they'll get all the details and maybe how they can get involved, now they can help, etc., and now they can maybe seek a bit of help for themselves. Something else you've tanked to doing. I tell you what, before we come on to that, on a serious point, a number of comedians over the years, not just in this era but before, have had mental health struggles, and I wonder if it is really the nature of the job, because you go on stage, you do a gig, you get laughs, there's this tremendous high, but with you always are going to have a post gig come down. That's true of people who do any kind of performing to an extent. Do you think that has a bearing on it?
Oh, 100%. I've never known that feeling of pure elation when you get off stage making hundreds and hundreds of people laugh. Yeah. You know, it's buzz. You buzz, and then you do crash, and then there's got to be a somehow it's chemically imbalancing your brain. I don't know. I'm waiting for like Stacey Dooley to do a documentary on comedians and suicide or something like that. Because as you said, you know, if you go as high up as Robin Williams, the late great Robin Williams,
Tony Hancock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's definitely something that we need to look at and really start talking. And I'm so open about my mental health. I ask everybody now, because I was almost one of those, not one of those people that killed themselves, and I came very, very close, and now I'm a lot more open to what's around me. Oh, 1,000,000%. And I'm always encouraging my friends to open up and talk, and whether they're comedian friends or friends from school or whatever.
Are people looking out for you more now they know? Does that have a bearing on it?
I think it does, yeah. I think it does. Like, if I can still have a destructive kind of run in me sometimes, where I go out drinking excessively but just to try and numb the pain, because I have bipolar. It's never going to go away. It's just how I combat that. And I want people out there listening to know that it's okay to have those moments, those wobbles, but just you can get back on the horse and you're a strong person. Mm. And there's so many people just from this show of messaged me on social media and said they've gone to the doctors because they heard me speak openly about it, or they've heard other guests, I'm sure. And it's a we've really got to get people talking.
Yeah. Now, on a lighter note, post-gig now and again, I see on social media, Dave, that you'll find the nearest Wetherspoons pub and you'll sit down and you'll say, right, I'm on table 23, do your worst. And then people take to their app.
You know?
People yeah. take to their Spoons app and then various things will arrive throughout the evening. Such as it could be a couple of shots, it could be a beer, it could be...
19 bowls of peas, I got one. One order.
19 bowls of peas.
I said to the waitress, I said, is this 19 individual orders yeah. of peas? They go, no, somebody ordered you 19 bowls of peas.
Yeah.
I don't even like peas.
Sometimes you get a bit of fruit, you'll get a little apple.
Yep.
Yeah. That's an expensive gag for yeah. them to play, though.
You know,
it?
You know what? And whoever.
If you've not. If the Spoon's menu is not that expensive. Yeah.
I don't know how much yeah. is. Well, I don't know.
19 bowls of peas.
Are
probably about 28 pence. That won't be. A bit more than that, but it's.
It's got to be at least a pound
it's
a bowl.
Not like
no,
a
I think it's 39p a bowl.
39p a bowl, Andy. Yeah, that's right. But as I said, it's not. Not booze. The great thing is that people send you all weird and wonderful stuff, but it sounds like a lot of fun, really.
It can be so much fun. And
what do people make of it, of all this stuff just starts to pile up on this
table?
People
come up to me, the people in the tables around me, they say, you've got really nice friends. And I do. If anyone's ever sent me something, and just for the laugh of it, you know, it doesn't have to be, I'm not like poncing for booze, no. but, you know, but people are really, really nice. And then obviously I do get like... I remember I said to him, can you stop sending food? I don't want, because I was getting black pudding, peas. I said to the waiter, I said, no more food. And at the end of the night, I go, we had so much more food for you. We had peas, we had black pudding, we had dips, and we had a chocolate cake. Send that! Yeah. Send the chocolate cake! Yeah. You know?
It was £7.41. Yeah. I just worked it out.
Oh, that's good. That's great.
Still £7.41 for a joke.
Well, yeah. You know, but... It's worth it, I'd say. It's worth it, yeah. Now, just finally, before you go, you were at the game last night, and you're involved. Just tell us, you're involved in one of the fine Spurs podcasts on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah, The Fighting Cock. If anyone's listening and you're a Spurs fan, check it out. It's great.
But you're a regular. I mean, what's your feeling? Not just after last night, but after recent weeks. What's your feeling about the manager and where the club are going at the moment?
I don't know. Do you know what? I don't think I know enough about football to know where the club are going.
Hmm.
Like, I like to think I do know stuff about football, but I just it's in turmoil, really. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And you think. Okay, the Champions League final was papered over a lot of cracks. We wasn't playing well. We were rubbish, quite frankly, in the league. But it's just getting worse, and I don't want to throw him under the bus yet. I want to give him a year, but I'm really there's a part of me that's like, stop being pragmatic, because I feel like it's probably the wrong decision. But I've got to also try and speak with a level head. But I'm worried. I'm worried about where Tottenham is. It's a lovely new stadium, great, but you know. That's not enough, is it, to be a great football club?
I'm a bit surprised. I'm a Jose watcher from years back. We love Jose. We're never going to not respect what he did for the club, three titles and all that. But I watched him at United and I thought, he's not the same guy. But surely he'll come back and he's learned. He's gone away there and he's thought about what he did at United. He's going to come back and he's going to be less pragmatic. They're going to play him a different style of football. It's been exactly the same. And you think leopard spots and all that sort of thing. You really do wonder. I mean, I'm surprised by it, to be honest.
When he changed his backroom staff, I thought maybe he has learnt from, you know, from his days at United, but it doesn't seem at the moment.
The bloke that he's brought in has got a great reputation. Yeah, he's a modern thinker of football, you know. I mean, you've seen Arteta going at Arsenal, and all right, the results haven't been fantastic, but you can see what they're trying to do. You can see... a progression, and the same with Lampard at Chelsea.
But essentially, Arteta has gone in and he's taken a squad, and he's had, you know, essentially they are set up to play in a certain way.
Yeah.
And their mindset has not totally changed. A lot of those Tottenham players who played under Pochettino, they're just not used to playing like this. This is not the way they play their football. So at the moment, and if he is going to completely change it, you've got a lot of those very similar players being asked to play in a very different way, a different style.
Doesn't help that a lot of them are underperforming to the ability that they have.
If you sign Matic and Fellaini, you might as well all go home. But that could happen.
No, it will, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and on that bombshell, thank you very much, Dave.
Can I do a quick plug, shows and stuff like that?
Yeah, of course, go for it, yeah.
So I'm in Derby this weekend, Avisham next week. Obviously do voiceovers and stuff. I'm writing a sitcom as well with my writing partner, Sophie. She's very talented, more talented than me. so yeah, and also the FC Not Alone shirt is on sale. I'm going to get a picture with you guys after.
Brilliant.
And 50% of it goes to Calm, towards mental health charities and helping people suffering. So
okay. Brilliant. So go and check it out at FC Not Alone if you want to find out more, and there'll be all the details of how you can buy the strip as well. We'll tweet out the details and we'll send out the picture with the shirt as well if you want to check it out.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily daily podcast from TalkSport.
Andy, do you have anything else for us?
I do. You see the Mercedes Formula One team reckon they'll be carbon neutral by the end of the season.
By the end of the season?
At the end of the season. Wow. I was thinking, blimey, that's a hell of a lot of offsetting. Yeah. Perhaps they could replace Valtteri Bottas with Greta Thunberg. I don't know. How's it going to work?
I don't know. I haven't really thought it through.
That's a race I'd pay to see.
I can. She wouldn't get in a gas guzzler like that. She'd be Formula E all day, wouldn't she? Oh, Greta Thunberg, she would definitely be.
True, yeah.
She'd be Formula E. I've got planning news for you later. Okay. It's always line the jingle stuff up. You have to line the jingle up. It's always good to planning news.
Yesterday, I was talking to you about those barbers in China who, sensibly and obviously, what else could you do? They're having to cut people's hair
from a distance
using shears. Basically, to cut people's hair, or like long sticks, shears with scissors on the end of it. And
that's quite a skill, isn't it?
It is quite a skill. And interestingly enough, Chris Waddle, I don't know if you saw, he went there and had his hair done.
Chris had his hair done in China, didn't he?
It looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What on earth was that?
It's quite a look, isn't it? It's like he's joined a Krusty band. He's going on the road with someone.
I'll just hold up the camera there.
He's going on the festival circuit. I reckon that he's gone into the barbers, old Chrissy, and he said, let's go for something wild, Chris. Let's go for it. And okay.
They show that wonderful goal he scored on the weekend.
God, yeah, he's still got it, isn't he?
Oh, of course. Yeah, tremendous.
And I played a few years ago for the Spurs old boys team, and Darren Anderton was playing. And I've got no idea why this happened. We played on a pitch. The grass was like pampas. You know, it was like wading. It wasn't really a proper pitch. It was a charity game, and they'd done their best with the pitch.
Yeah.
It was like a size 4 ball for some reason. We had a kid's ball. On a bumpy,
strange,
long grass pitch.
With pros playing, that is a bit strange.
And Darren Anderton picked the ball up about sort of 35 yards out, looked up, just kind of pushed it away from his feet and pinged it in the top corner.
Yeah, of course.
You never quite lose that.
The
old stamina may go a bit, but blimey, they can still strike a ball.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Ben Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Goffey and Adrian will bring you Drive at 4 o'clock in this next hour. We'll look ahead to the live football on Talk Sport in the FA Cup, UK Wife Carrying Championships. Yeah. Very much looking forward. I can't look forward to it. It's next year's happened. We're looking back rather than looking forward. What Mr. Brazil is doing there, of course, is looking back rather than forward.
I could make a comment about entering it myself. I think I better not in case the wife's
there. Come on, don't go old school on us, Andy. Don't go old school on us.
Anyway, talking of my family, I was speaking to my son the other night, one of my boys, and they love the podcast, which is really nice and flattering. They always listen to it, and they heard me talking about Jose Feliciano and the fact that I was going to see him.
This is the famous singer-songwriter, guitar player.
Yeah, look him up.
Famous man. He's a legendary musician. And
fabulous.
You admitted that you'd always wanted to see him live.
I've always wanted to see him live.
It's a bit of a guilty pleasure for you.
And he's only playing at Bexhill-on-Sea, which is, you know...
Well, this is, if you're going to do one gig in the UK,
yes,
if you're Jose Feliciano, it is Bexhill-on-Sea.
So he said to me, why are you going to see him, Dad? And I said, well, to be honest, I've got 4 or 5 tracks on my Spotify list.
Yeah.
And one in particular that I love, and that's why I'm going. So if he doesn't do it, I'll be a bit annoyed. He said to me, what happens if he just does his new stuff? I thought, that's a very good point. Here's one from my new album. Oh, no.
That has happened before.
I know.
I remember.
And Bexhill, the reason they're doing it is it's just a tryout for the big tour next year.
Yeah.
He's not even expecting an audience.
You get that. Often bands these days are artists. Honestly. They'll just play an original album in its entirety. Remember going to see Elvis Costello, and he sort of did a lot of new stuff and then sort of did the hits as a sort of medley at the end.
Do Light My Fire.
That would be great, wouldn't it? Shouting from a player certain song. Is that the one you want to hear?
No, it's Time After Time. His version, Time After Time, is a classic song.
What, the old Cyndi Lauper song?
No.
Which one? The older version?
The older version.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, I know. I know the one you
know.
You
know that track. And his version of it is
so
just...
The Chet Baker does a fine version of it.
Yeah, he does. And so does Frank Sinatra.
Anyway, was it half a lager, wasn't it? We're having a pub conversation. He's bad, that. But if you go and see Jose Feliciano and he doesn't play Light My Fire, you should get your money back.
I know.
Really,
that's
an expectation they've got to play at least. Funny enough, you could have said this very conversation to Ricky Ross from Deacon Blue yesterday, because he was saying in an interview that I read with him before we chatted, that you can't go on there. They've got a new album out, but you've got a duty to play the hits, to play the songs that people want to hear.
He's not going to do his new album.
They start throwing chairs at the stage in
Hello,
Bex
everybody,
Hill.
I've gone experimental.
They'll call it
Freeform Jazz.
The Bex, Jazz Odyssey. Be fantastic. Derek Smalls, he wrote this. Be great, wasn't it? This is a departure for Jose Feliciano. Now, Jose everything at the moment.
Regular listeners, of which there are quite a few.
Really?
Well, I think so.
Are you sure?
Well, I'm not sure, actually.
Sure, that's
so they told me.
I would look that, mate, because I'm not altogether sure that's honestly true. Somebody's been lying to
that's
you.
That's not true, they are. We'll remember that I had a glove puppet at Christmas. Sockley, he became quite a little character.
Sockley Park, yeah, he looked at all the big VAR decisions.
Yeah,
didn't
remember he won Don't Ask Me 1 week, our weekly competition. I know I'm explaining stuff all of a sudden, first time in 20 years. But anyway, a few people said to me, you know, well, where's Sockley and this and that. I said,
how many people
have
said that?
Oh, quite a few.
Really? Yeah. People stopping you in the street asking you where Sockley
on
Park
social
is.
Media
oh,
channels.
Oh, okay, right, okay. Fair enough.
Various. Nobody in person, I would admit that.
Yeah. So you're thinking of bringing him back for Cheltenham?
I was thinking
of
bringing him to Cheltenham next week, but I thought, well, I can't bring him in his Christmas finery, because basically he was a Christmas sock.
He was a Christmas stocking,
Christmas stocking that you turned into a
puppet. You sewed a face onto, yeah.
So I'm thinking...
Too much time on your hands.
Well, I have. I'm looking for a piece of tweed to make Sockley a jacket.
I've told you what to do. You're going to a tailor's and say you're looking to have a tweed suit made. Take a pair of scissors. So well, that's a nice tie. When the fella looks away, you clip it out of the book.
Can you imagine?
You clip it out of the book.
I'll get caught knowing me.
Yeah. I had a brief part-time Saturday style job at one point in a gentleman's outfit.
I remember, yeah.
And those
the
books,
Romford branch,
those
right?
books of I was never sent to the Romford branch. It was like the gulag. Once you went to the Romford branch, you never came back. But, there was one of those books of material that people would have suits made out of. And
sample book, yeah.
Most of the sample books you'd go to someone and say, this is a nice material for a sort of everyday suit. And you'd scrunch it up like a piece of tissue paper and it'd bounce back into life.
Yeah.
And it would, and that told you
that's not necessarily a good thing, I have to tell you, for fabric.
Oh, okay. Well, that would tell you.
It's very hard wearing.
You don't wear it in front of an open fire.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it would tell you that it was going to last a long time.
Yeah.
But there was one particular book at the cheaper end, at the budget end, I think we called it, of our range, that you didn't do the old tissue paper scrunch to. You treated it like an unexploded bomb.
Really?
You did. You barely... It was a bit like you almost, you put gloves on. As if you're like on... Who do you think you are? Or if you're sort of, if you're touching the Bayeux tapestry, you treated it like that, an old ancient
or the Premier League trophy.
Yeah, none of it, which is sport,
anyway,
of course.
I said to the wife, would she? She's very handy.
I love the way she's still the wife in that 1970s. Not to my wife, the wife. It's fantastic.
I said to the wife, she's very handy and she's.
Should you be leaning on the microphone as you say this? I think you should be holding the mic in one end and just leaning on the stand. So I said to the wife.
Because she's quite handy with the sewing machine and the needles and everything.
Well,
she's a
woman, isn't she? Andy?
Well, not just because of that. She's her family. Her mother was.
We might as well go the whole hog.
We're not going the whole hog.
We might as well go the whole hog.
Family thing. Her mother was a great, wonderful dressmaker.
Brilliant seamstress.
Yes, she was. And so Sue learned how to do it.
Marvellous.
And so I said to her, can you make him a cap? Like a little tweed cap. And she said to me,
you've asked your wife to make a tweed cap for
Sockley.
A Christmas stocking that you turned
Cheltenham
into a puppet.
I thought you'd be handy.
Did you think
at
your
Cheltenham.
Marriage would ever come to this?
She said to me, I'm not a milliner. She said, I'm not doing it.
James Milliner.
She refused.
She won't. She'd make other things, but she won't make hats.
Yeah,
so
right.
If you've got a stray bit of, what are we looking for?
Please do. Send
stray
it
bit
to
of
me.
Tweed
yeah.
material.
Get it
you
to
can
me
get
by
to,
tomorrow.
Get to Talksport by tomorrow or straight to Cheltenham
I'll
by
have to
Monday.
Have it steam cleaned with, of course, modern considerations.
That's true.
You do, really.
Could be full of anything.
Can I just finally finish with this little section with this headline that caught my eye this morning? GC, I'm like JC. And I was thinking, what? John Kerrigan, our producer. Does she support Torquay?
Is this the GC?
No, he's claiming she's a bit like
who
Jesus
is,
Christ.
Is it, who are you talking about? Sorry.
Gemma Collins.
Gemma Collins is comparing herself to...
Gemma Collins reckons she's a prophet like Jesus Christ, who was put on earth to
Well, she turns a prophet. That's quite impressive, isn't it, really? She's made the very best out of her TV appearances.
Oh, I watched her on Celebrity Catchphrase.
Oh, yeah.
By the end of it, I thought, you are so clever. You know exactly what you are. She's a very clever woman. She is. People think she's, you know, the way she's painted. started. She started like that. Oh, I can't do any of this. I don't even know how it works. By the end, she was practically winning. You know,
she's a rocket scientist. No, she could well be. We don't know, do we?
She may well be. Yeah, but I don't think she supports Torquay.
No, I don't think she does. Okay, is that it?
Well, there could be more. There's always more.
Okay.
One more?
No, go on then. One more then. Yeah.
One more. Well, I'm fascinated by this story about this bowls club is to let women become full members for the first time in its 96-year history. Yeah. The bowling club said the world had moved on, and it certainly has since it was founded in 1924. The club chairman, Alan Breeze, I don't know if he used to be Billy Cummins.
No, Block in the dressing room.
Yeah, Breeze Block.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole of the committee is delighted with the result, and it helps us plan better for the future. We are still one club, and even though people voted against it, I don't want to alienate anyone. And you think, who? Who would vote against this in this day and age to still make a club men only?
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it, that people would still have that sort of unreconstructed attitude, but they did. Anyway, they weren't in the majority, which was a good thing.
You've seen the story today about Ronaldinho.
Yes.
Not the plumber, the former Barcelona and Brazil striker. He's in Paraguay, and he's been investigated by Paraguayan authorities for what police say was a presumably adulterated Paraguayan passport.
It said fake passport.
That's what they've said. I think he called himself McLovin or something. But him and his brother and his business manager, one and the same person, Roberto.
Well, he's quite famous, isn't he?
Yeah, quite a famous
face. Still got that sort of ringlety hair and everything. Yeah,
and it's very obvious. I'm looking at pictures of him here in Paraguay recently, and he doesn't look any...
That nicked him did a selfie with him.
Did he?
Yes. Yes.
How does that go down when you say...
I'm not entirely sure that's the right thing to do.
They cuff you and then they say, just any chance of a picture. How would that go down?
That's very
sense, true.
Does it? But there you go.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
So, the UK Wife Carrying Championships have taken place, the annual UK Wife Carrying Championships. And I've got it passed me by this time, I'm afraid to say, which is why we need an update from Rob McCaffrey. Who I think is one of the organisers, not that one. Good afternoon, Rob.
Hello, Paul. Hello, Andy.
Yeah, so we have spoken before. How did the... First, maybe it's best to explain, is it rules or laws? Tell us how the world of wife carrying... What are the? Let's go with rules. How does it work?
Well, you don't have to be married. It doesn't have to be your wife.
Okay, wow. That's fairly fundamental,
isn't
it?
That's pretty controversial.
Considering the name of the competition.
Yeah, I've run in it 6 times. I've never yet carried my own wife. I've always had to borrow somebody else's.
Okay. That's cheating.
Yeah.
And presumably the wife you borrow is quite light.
Well, there is a minimum weight. They have to weigh 50 kilos, which is about 8.5 stone.
Right.
Okay.
And then the course is out and back. It's 380 metres in total, but it's not flat. It actually has a... you have to gain about 15 metres in height up to the halfway point.
Yeah.
And then on the way back, we have lots of willing volunteers ready with buckets of water, cold water, ready to chuck that at the carriers. And everybody goes off at the same time. We have about 30, 35... competitors go off at the same time, and it's just the winner is the person that carries their wife the quickest and gets over the finish line first.
The carrying technique. I was going to say the carrying technique, Andy. You've seen pictures of it. It's uniform, isn't it? Everybody carries their wife or
it's not a fireman's lift, is it?
No, it's very different, isn't it?
Oh no, it's the Estonian hold. It was pioneered by the Estonians a few years ago in the World Championships.
Finland?
In Finland, that's right.
Yeah, so.
And the Finns had won this championships every year for years. And then one year the Estonians came along with this Estonian hold, which is where the wife hangs upside down on the carrier's back with their legs crossed over the carrier's face.
Yeah.
And
it looks a bit like from the front. It looks a bit like, do you know those aeroplane cushions that
that
help you sleep. Yeah. So that's the kind of legs are in that position, aren't they? With the head,
absolutely. Yeah. And it's much more efficient than any other position, so to speak. But I mean, whenever I've run in it, I've always carried the person that I'm carrying in a shoulder ride.
Yeah.
Which is quite comfortable. Also, you can do the piggyback, which is very tiring, actually, not at all efficient, or across the shoulders, which has happened. But we also have had the reverse Estonian, the Dorking hold, which is a spectacular hole.
That is really, to be really honest.
Page six,
hole,
fig
but not
four.
Very fast.
The reverse Estonian.
See, wind assisted is normally good in sport, but with that hole, I'd imagine wind assisted would be quite a disaster.
It's terrible, but it certainly gets your photo in the papers.
Yeah, it certainly,
it certainly does.
So who was the winner this year then?
The winner this year, we had a new winner. The previous winners from the last 2 years, they'd won it 2 years in a row. They're getting married and they didn't want to risk a tumble. So we had a new winner this year. It was Mark Threlfall, who's 31, carrying Cassie Yates, who's from, and they're both from Bradford upon Avon.
Right, so they know each other. I imagine it's the sort of thing you get many people just sort of shaking hands on the start line and going. I mean, it's a relatively intimate sort of process, isn't it? Really,
it's very intimate. It's very intimate. I did actually have one carrier whose wife had to fly on business the day before, and he called me up and said, "Do you know anybody that you can pair me up with?" And I got him paired up with a local girl, and they mounted up on the start line, and away they went.
There's somebody some kind of app, really, that you can swipe one way or the other to decide on who you want the competitor, your opponent to.
Am I right in thinking that the winner of this goes through to the World Championships?
They can elect to, and actually, we, as part of the prize for winning this, we give them £250 for their travel expenses.
Right.
Towards getting out to Finland. So actually, I went to Finland with last year's winners, and I competed over there, and my wife didn't come with me, so they actually had to give me a couple of local wives for the races. And they're very friendly girls.
Yeah.
They're lovely girls, yeah.
I see the carrier who completes the course with the heaviest wife wins a pound of sausages. The oldest carrier will receive a tin of pilchards and a jar of Bovril. Last place duo will receive a ceremonial pot noodle and a can of dog food. I mean, do you think the wife carrying as a sport can survive in these woke times, Rob?
it's always been absolutely inclusive. So we've had men carrying men, women carrying women. We've had women carrying men.
Yeah.
That happens occasionally. We've had carriers carrying their quadriplegic, paraplegic partners. So it's extremely inclusive, but it's... For anybody, it's not easy. It's a real athletic test. And the people that come in first, second and third, they're kind of national quality athletes.
Well, that's the important thing there. So the word wife in this context really means the person being carried. It's a fairly sort of broad church, isn't it, by the sound of it, as a term?
Well, we actually did institute a new rule last year that the person being carried has to be human.
Right.
And they have to be alive.
It's all important stuff.
Yeah, corpse
really.
Would be
one,
a great
one
sight,
of the carriers last year turned up with a bag of body parts. They were rubber.
Ah, okay. Thank goodness for that. What a thought.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We're back tomorrow. Rodney Marsh.
Sockley's very excited.
He is. I'm sure he's getting his new suit fitted tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. Rodney Marsh pops in. Alvin Martin will be joining us to talk about playing behind closed doors that could happen in the Premier League, as it is happening already in Italy. And, of course, Clips of the Week, and Motti will be here. So thanks for listening to us.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.